Psalm 16. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say to the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods, or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with your joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Amen.
So, our theme for today is going to be joy, because it's the theme of the third Sunday of Advent. Can you work with me this morning, please? Because when I was doing this and preparing it, my problem was, with all the things going on, and I've got to prepare this, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. It's a busy week, and just the way I was feeling, I wasn't feeling very joyful, which is really hard, because I couldn't put my heart and soul into going, right, let's do it. I've got so much to say about it. I was actually thinking, oh, do you know, I certainly don't feel it. So it's actually hard work for me to really concentrate and focus my mind and on joy, and the whole thing about joy and the joy that God gives. So if you can work with me as well on that, and for yourself, engage with joy and how do we get joy, then we'll probably make some progress. We certainly can't rely on my feelings, because they weren't very good at the time, but we'll rely on God's word to draw us in and to help us to focus on joy. James Hyatt was 3 years old. He comes from Hockley in Essex, which is where I used to teach there for a couple of years. And James, he wanted to join his dad going out and doing some detectorist work not long ago. They got the machine, and you know, have you seen people doing it? Yes, you do see them from time to time, beaches mainly, but his dad was out on a field doing his detectorist work, and his little three-year-old son with him, and the little boy inevitably said, can I have a go, please? Can I have a go? Well, it's actually, you know, you've got to carefully go over each bit and not miss a bit, make sure you don't stumble over the wrong things. Anyway, he said to his son, yeah, you have a go. Here it is. Like his dad, just like he said, lovely, just copying his dad. And the thing goes berserk. There's something down there. And they put a spade in there, or they put a fork in there. And there they find a huge gold object. There it is. And it turns out that it's something from the 16th century, Henry VIII's time. And it would have been used, it came from a church, and it had been used to put in some sort of relic that they did in those days. And someone had either dropped it or hidden it so that it wasn't taken from the church. Well, first they thought it might be worth millions, but the British Museum gave them an offer they couldn't refuse of £70,000 to be shared equally between little three-year-old James and the landowner. How about that? Well, he redefined beginner's luck. A And he did it through that activity which, well, for most people, they don't find such treasures. And if you did that first time and you think, oh, I'll have a go with that, I'm going out to my local field, don't forget to get permission first from the landowner, and I too am going to discover wonderful things. Well, actually, it takes a lot of work. And many of these people, detectorists, will go out week in, week out, doing vast areas and find nothing but a bag of nails and the occasional coin. But there's always the hope driving people on that maybe they will find something. The thing that people put a lot of effort into also in the hope that they will find something is, well, is our theme for the day. Joy. And people will search and search for joy. Joy being different from happiness. What's the difference? Well, it's good to think about what the difference is. Happiness does depend on our circumstance, what's happening to us, what we're doing. And if it's the right sort of thing, we get that feeling of happiness. Joy, joy is different. Joy comes from, well, it's not dependent on what's going on around us, but something about our assurance that God is in control in the details of our life. God is holding us. We are in the right place with God, and from that springs joy, which Christians throughout the ages have experienced, even when their circumstances are really poor and are really against them, and yet still they can grasp something of joy. Now, we hanker after it, and the advertisers know that we hanker after it, and so they try and entice us on with some joy. Coca-Cola, open happiness. One bottle of that drink and you will get the experience of happiness. Won't you? You get a little buzz of sugar and caffeine. It'll send you a bit high. But that's the route forward. Happiness is guaranteed by Virgin. So I assume, yes, that's a broadband. If you flip over to Virgin, you'll get a real burst of happiness. They say. So all you Sky subscribers and the rest of you, BT and the like, if you want happiness, they say that is the way to get it. And it can look like joy, but it's not. It's a false trial. Now, we could get an experience of happiness by going on a really brilliant holiday. You could get happiness through money coming your way. Why not? You can, if you really want to, get an experience of happiness through a certain drugs and substances, legal and illegal. You can get the experience of happiness, but it's not joy. Because when your circumstances change, it goes away. So let's not be lured on by those adverts. Let's go to an alternative advert for joy, which comes in Psalm 16. Psalm 16 leads us to joy through what God gives. What does God give? Well, this is what the Psalm says. The Psalm says, apart from you, I have no good thing, says the psalmist. It's for all his eggs in one basket, God alone. But in God, he does have good things. You make my lot secure. So it's a safe place with God. It says, surely I have a delightful inheritance. Being one of God's children, son or daughter of God, you inherit all the good things of the kingdom of God. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. To be with God is to be secure, whatever the circumstances. And the psalmist delights in that. He also says, you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. With God, God does not let go. Never abandoned, not even in death, is what he's alluded to there. That nothing, nothing can separate him from God's love. It says, you make known to me the path of life. So with God, there's also guidance. Now, that guidance is not going to be the sort of guidance where you flip a coin, heads or tails, God, tell me, which is it going to be? We know that would be cheating, and that doesn't happen. But the guidance as to how to live our life and how to direct our life does come from God. So if you're going to have a path that leads, that's life, good life, life in all its fullness, well, God makes that known. And finally he says, you fill me with eternal pleasures. Joy that's going to last forever, whatever the circumstances. And that's going to be our final state. Eternal pleasures. They're not going to end. For now, we're sort of on the way. We're just starting. We're just exploring them. We're just getting a taster. But the long term is it's going to be eternal. How do we get on that way to eternal pleasures and to joy? What's the route? We've got to start out well. Have you ever had that experience where you haven't got the sat-nav on the car? And you get to the first junction. You've got the route mapped out. You know where you're going. But the first thing you've got to decide, do I go left or right when I come out my house? Or when I hit that first junction, left or right? Oh no, suddenly it's difficult. You know all the difficult bits to come, but it's that first decision. You've got to go the right way. I sometimes go the right way. I'm at Lidl's. Left or right, which way do I go? If I go, I'm going up to, oh, I've gone the wrong way. I'm in the queue to Newton Abbot. Is there anything worse? You've got to get that first decision right. Get on the right track. The psalmist has that first step of getting on the right track. He's talking about it and expressing it in terms of having the right pecking order in his life, the right list of priorities. And he says, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. First step. You're going to go left or you're going to go right? Get that one right. You are my Lord. Who is number one in your life? Who is above all? Who dictates which way you go and what you do? He puts the Lord first. We say Jesus is Lord. Important part of our life and our commitment, saying Jesus is Lord. Lord, you alone are my portion of my cup. What am I aiming for? Not you and other things, but you alone, looking to God alone for that. So I will praise the Lord. In the environment he was in, there were lots of other gods to choose from. The environment we're in, there are lots of gods we have to choose from, or none. The psalmist says, I will praise the Lord. I'm going to praise humanity. I'm going to praise creation. None of that. I will praise the Lord. And then I keep my eyes always on the Lord. Where does Jesus come in your planning in your life and your decision making in your life? How do you plan your daily life? What goes on? Who you're going to talk to? How you're going to talk to people? What you're going to do with your time? Jesus first is the way the psalmist wouldn't have been talking in terms of Jesus, but he said the Lord first. He said Jesus first. Number one, he is Lord. Now, how do we express that? We express that through our lifestyle. What are we going to do? How are we going to live? What are the good things that we're going to do in our life? What are the things we're going to avoid which we know are wrong? We know they are destructive. We know they are unhelpful or just unhealthy. We're going to avoid them. Lifestyle for God going to come first. We're going to give ourselves those things which are life-giving and life-giving for others. What about our place with where God fits in with our daily life. During the week, are we picking up our Bible? Making sure we're getting our instruction from the Bible and not just from all the other things that come our way. What about our prayer life? Are we daily praying to God? Are we giving time to that? Or are these things we just, well, we'll fit in if it's okay, if we've got the time, if I've got a spare moment, I maybe get out an app on my phone and quickly do the Bible verse and a short prayer. I haven't got time, I've got other things to do and I've got other things to flick through. Are we fitting God in, or is everything being fitted in around our life with God? And our giving as well. It's giving something we do with the bits left over, if we've got anything left over. Or is our giving, first of all, saying to God, what do we do with all of our income? Which bits are given away and to what? And what about the bits we retain? Is that coming to God? God first. God first, our money spent on what he wants, and we fit around that. Is God Lord of our life, or is he fitted in? The pressure on the church at the moment in these days is to lower that standard, because we're finding that younger generations, Generation Z and younger, don't like it. And having things that you can or you can't do, things that are good and bad to do, things that are healthy and unhealthy, want to make up their own minds. And it puts them off church, so we lower it to make it a bit easy. Now, I do think it's true that we have to be careful in communicating what is important, what is not important. People get put off when we have rules around women can do this and women can't do that. And it's like crazy. Come on. We have moved beyond that and learnt about that and learnt about roles in a much healthier way. But there are many other things where we just have to say, that is the right thing to do. That is not. That is a good way to live your life, and that is an unhelpful way to live your life. You can't get around it. There are ways in which expressing Jesus as Lord is important, and it's going to cost us a bit. If not, we're going to miss out on joy. We're simply going to be hooked into what we think is good for us. Now, watch out for the joy robbers. That's one of the joy robbers, doing things our own way, living our own life without Jesus as Lord. And another one is having our pleasures are linked with, whether things turn out well. Linked with our finances. Finances are good. We think we're joyful. Finances are bad. Not anymore. Sport, your team's winning and you get all excited, and when they lose, it's all misery and gloom. If we link our pleasures too much with what's going on and the outcome, we're going to miss joy. Joy does not depend on your success. And lastly, just disappointment is a joy robber. Especially how good a Christian we think we are. Are you a good Christian? Are you doing well being a Christian? And often that disappointment of, if God can see what goes on. I mean, you might think you're hardly a model Christian in your home, with your spouse, in your singleness, whatever it is. I think I just don't do very well. It just doesn't seem like an advert. And your joy is not going to come by looking sideways to what's going on. Your joy will come when you look to God. See what he has for you. So get on the route to joy. We'll end with the psalmist. He says, I will keep my eyes always on the Lord. That will see us through. That will see us through to joy. And you can do that anytime, anywhere, at all stages in your life. Do that, and the psalmist says, you will fill me with joy in your presence eternal pleasures at your right hand. The Lord will fill us. Jesus first, God first, and joy to follow. We can experience that, can't we? Let's do that as we lift up to God those things that we need to offer up to Him so that we haven't got any barriers to joy. So a moment just to reflect on that. Is there one thing this morning you could say, God, I haven't been giving you that, or I haven't been giving it priority, I haven't been doing that, or oh, I've been doing that and I really need to drop that. What is it this morning you can offer to God? So here it is. I want to bring that to you. Express your Lordship, and I want to be on that path to joy. What is it? Just come before God now. Just pray. So hear us, Father, as we offer something to you. As we try to leave something behind, may that barrier to joy be removed. As we say we're going to do something which we haven't been, we pray that that might open up the way to you and to joy. Hear our prayer. Hear our prayer, Lord. Amen.